What's up, everybody, and welcome to the all-access version of the TNA Impact Wrestling Audio Review. This is Will Pruitt, and for those of you non-members who may be checking this out for the first time, I do the weekly TNA Impact Audio recaps and have a lot of fun doing them. It's always a good time just to sit down, talk through the show, what I like, what I don't, all sorts of stuff like this about Impact, Raw, SmackDown, available on the members side of ProWrestling.net. On top of that, you get our flagship show, .net Weekly, that often includes a bunch of first-run news. And then you get just first-run news altogether. On the members site this week, stories broke about multiple stories about creative changes in TNA, a whole lot of insider stories about the Sting versus Ric Flair match that we're going to get into here. I mean, just a ton of first-run news going on. And you get a little bit more in .net Weekly as well. On top of that, too, you get the .NET Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett every Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday, sometime in the middle of the week, breaking down the best and worst moments of the last week, as weird as we divide the week up, but of the last week in wrestling. Always fun shows, always good stuff on the .NET member side, and you get Q&As with Jason Powell and Chris Shore, two guys who they're just fun to listen to. So, all of that. .NET membership, totally worth it. Check it out on ProWrestling.net. There's a link to the membership sign-up page on the right-hand side of the page. Just click that bad boy. Check it out. Absolutely worth doing. And we're all pretty confident that you won't regret it. But you probably did not click this to get plugged, so I apologize for the last 2 minutes of plugtastity. Let's talk about TNA Impact Wrestling. This was the September 15th episode, and it was highlighted. Oh, by the way, it was taped at the Impact Zone in Orlando, Florida, and it was taped on the Monday night after the No Surrender pay-per-view, so September 12th, 2011. And this show was highlighted, well, low-lighted, actually, by Sting versus Ric Flair. TNA's been building it for a while, and this was the show that we actually got Sting versus Ric Flair on. And it did not look good, folks. It was not a pretty match. Not in the least. There were quite a few spots in this match where you just went, what was TNA thinking? And those spots included Ric Flair attempting to do the Flair flop. And, if you will, flopping at the Flair flop. It was the worst-looking Flair Flop in history. And for those of you younger fans, the Flair Flop is the stumble out of the corner and fall on your face action that used to be pretty fantastic. It was really fun to watch. I mean, just absolutely classic. So, that was sad. This is also the match that many people in the back sat and looked at and said, is Ric Flair having a heart attack in the middle of the ring? It's come out since that he has legitimately injured his arm, but no one, you know, to the extent of that injury, people don't know, but I've got to say, after watching this, I sincerely hope and pray that we have seen the last Ric Flair match. Great career. Best of all time. You can argue that. I don't usually argue that. He's good. He's top two, definitely, but yeah, he's, yeah. I mean, one of the best wrestlers of all time. Amazing career, but Ric Flair, hang up the boots. It was time in 2008. It's even more time now, 3 years later. And Flair himself, if you remember any of the DVD interviews he did about the last Monday Nitro, and how sad he was about wrestling in a t-shirt, and how much that hurt him to do, well, it hurt a lot worse to see him wrestling without a t-shirt on this show. He looked to be carrying an extra 30 pounds in the midsection, and it was not pretty. TNA tried to cut away from it as much as possible using creative editing, always shooting his back. But they had their moments. I mean, there was a spot in the match where Flair took a superplex from Sting. I'm sorry, a 62-year-old man does not need to take a superplex. You can just tell a story without it. It's fine. But, yeah, not a big fan of that match. It did not, I mean, I won't say it didn't live up to expectations, because that's pretty much what I expected it to be. But it did not reach a level that justified even a TV main event in the year 2011. So I hope that's the last of Ric Flair. I hope we're rounding the end of Sting in the ring as well, and that we can focus on some young talent, which this show did a good job of. But first, let's talk about the top of the show. And the show opened with a video package talking about No Surrender and Bobby Roode winning the Bound for Glory series. The Bound for Glory series events on the show were recapped, and one of the bummers to this for me was the fact that they were recapped, but not in video form. It was in picture, and I mean, no one's going to buy a TNA pay-per-view replay, especially not of this show. But no one's going to buy a TNA pay-per-view replay, so why don't you just show them the actual pay-per-view footage? It would help everybody a little bit. Show them some, you know, maybe not completely show them the finishes, but show them the Bobby Roode celebration at least. And I feel like this was the first place where the show went a little bit off track. Bobby Roode should have been the first thing out after that video package to a huge ovation. Should have been Bobby Roode coming out alone and cutting that money promo saying, on Sunday, I reached a moment that I've been waiting all my life for. Now, it's time. Bound for Glory, it's my time. And maybe that's a time when you debut new theme music. Maybe that's a time where you debut a little bit of a new look in that video package for him. And I mean, tonight when Bobby Roode did wrestle, he was wearing his old Bobby Roode dollar sign tights, and you don't want to be the money guy. You don't want to be it pays to be rude anymore. You need to be Bobby Roode, not Robert Roode executive guy. Yeah. I know. Little things, folks. If you haven't noticed, I'm really into details about wrestling. It's something that I am passionate about. I think it's the little things that it comes down to that makes a wrestling show go from good to great, or even bad to good sometimes. And TNA, of course, is infuriating because those details often are not present. But talking about the opening of Impact, instead we got Ric Flair's music hitting, and he came to the ring, called out Sting. Sting walked out, and Sting was wearing a really silly robe, as was Ric Flair. Flair came to the ring in his blue and black robe, and oh, it's even sad to see him in the Ric Flair robes in it these days. And Flair basically said, I told Hogan I was going to beat you, and that's the only way that Sting gets Hogan. And then Flair said, you'll get to Hogan over my dead body. And Sting took the mic and said that tonight is the night that Flair dies. Awkward, with all those heart attack rumors. Maybe that should have been edited out. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But then Sting promised to put Flair in the Scorpion Deathlock and told Flair he was ready now. Sting took off his robe. Security stormed the ring and got between the two men, and Sting's music hit. Flair left the ring. So it was supposed to be this moment of Sting going, how about we do it now, Rick? How about we do it now? And Flair being like, oh no, no, we gotta wait till later, man. We gots to wait till later. And that's basically what it was. Security got in the way. And then we had Jeff Hardy walking in backstage. So, I mean, it was a 6-minute segment. Not bad, not fantastic, but set the stage for what we'd see later. I think this top of the show moment, you know, the top of the show. You watch the top of the show after almost any year's Royal Rumble, and what's the first thing you see? The top of Raw. Yeah, you see the Royal Rumble winner coming out to talk about the championship opportunity that they have at WrestleMania. That's what this should have been. I mean, I don't mind that it wasn't, and I do think that they put Roode over really well on this show. And I'll get to that, because I'm very positive on what they did with Roode, and I didn't expect to be reading spoilers. But at the same time, man, you miss an opportunity when you have one of your highest audiences to introduce them to Bobby Roode first thing and to say, this is the guy. This is the guy. They have that opportunity, sure. You know, going down the line, they totally have that opportunity, but I think they're squandering the post-pay-per-view audience as well. But Jeff Hardy was shown walking backstage, and backstage, when we came back from commercial, Jeff did an interview, Herbie Cam style, and said he's happy to be back, and talks about how he's taking, you know, the necessary steps to make up for what happened, and talks about being at Huntsville and apologizing to the fans, and now they're back at Orlando at the Impact Zone, and it's time to apologize to the boys. And I mean, it's this whole thing they're doing with Hardy is a little bit weird, because on the one hand, it's this worked shoot, like, it's real, but it's not, and Hardy needs redemption story that you know is really there. And on the other hand, it is the worked portion of it where you go, oh yeah, but this is all the story, and TNA's kind of exploiting it. And they're walking a fine line right now between between being inspirational and actually exploiting him. And I think tonight they ended up on the good side of that line. I mean, you'll see in my Pruitt's Pause, you may have seen in my Pruitt's Pause editorial, I praise this. And it's not without reservations, but I think in the end, they ended up on the good side of the spectrum here. Between this from Jeff Hardy and the D-Von promo later in the show to Jeff Hardy, they ended up on the good side of the promo and of the spectrum and not the bad here, but barely. I mean, this is borderline, and I think TNA needs to maybe back off this border a little bit as they go forward. Then we got our first match of the night, which is the Pope, D-Von, Terra, and Miss Tessmacher defeating Mexican America, the combination of Anarquia, Sarita, Rosita, and Hernandez in 4 minutes and 55 seconds. Man, I wasn't into this match at all. Okay. The things I don't like in wrestling. Xenophobic race baiting, which is the complete Mexican America act. It's just what they're there for and what they do. And I don't like man-on-woman violence. The mixed tag aspect of this told me I was going to get a little bit of man-on-woman violence, or the threat of it. And Mexican America being there meant that the heels were heels simply because they were a different race, and damn proud of it. So, I don't like it. I don't like these acts. I'm really not into them. And this match basically meant nothing to me because of it. It ended when Miss Tessmacher and Terra, the TNA Knockouts Tag Team Champions, and I was surprised watching this match that I had forgotten the TNA Knockouts Tag Team titles existed, but ended with Miss Tessmacher and Terra scoring a double pin on Sarita and Rosita. Moving on, Karen yelled at Tracy Brooks for making her wait. She told Tracy she needs to cover up her boobs, which I kind of agree with. Not gonna lie, that's a little too much boob right there, y'all. But then she said to get the knockouts and back and be in her office in 5 minutes, and I'm enjoying Karen Jarrett in this role. We got a little more of her later in the show, and I'm just enjoying what Karen's doing, I think. And actually, after the commercial, she announced a series of matches over the next 3 weeks to see who the three women in a four-way match for the TNA Knockouts title would be, the three women being the challengers to challenge Winter for the Knockouts title. I like it. I like what Karen Jarrett's doing right now. I mean, it's funny because there were jokes about it, but if you look at the people who have the power to make matches in TNA, it's a little ridiculous. You've got Hogan and Bischoff. I mean, Sting apparently can make matches. Oh, Kurt Angle later in the show made a match. Karen Jarrett can make matches. I think Jeff Jarrett can, but I'm not sure how much Founder really plays. I mean, what's next? Is Mike Tenay just going to start making matches? Who is the next person to start making matches in TNA? It wouldn't shock me if it were any of these guys, so. But, yeah, I like what Karen's doing, and, you know, the four-way at Bound for Glory. Hey, there's no real singles feud for the Knockouts title right now, so why don't we try to get four of these women on this show where they're going to get paid a little bit more than nothing they normally get paid. And then we cut to the ring, and in the ring, we had Fortune in the form of AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, James Storm, and Kazarian. Oh, by the way, in case you want to follow along with me breaking down this show, check out Ryan Kester's Impact coverage. Ryan always does great coverage for the site, and dear God, I'm going to do audio with him again one of these days. It's going to happen, Ryan. I promise. It's going to happen, dude. But not this week, because it's late, and I don't have time to record tomorrow, so sorry about your damn luck. Sorry, I couldn't resist after I had said sorry about your damn luck. See, it just flows out of me. It's ridiculous. And AJ Styles introduced Bobby Roode here with Fortune standing in the ring, and they hit the beer money music. And like I said earlier, I really feel like tonight was the night when you introduced a little bit of new entrance music for Bobby Roode. But that's a little thing. Basically, Styles And all of Fortune praised Rude. Daniels was a little bit heelish, talking about how his victory over Bully Ray was almost as good as Daniels' victory over AJ Styles. But, you know, and that's what Daniels is kind of doing right now, that shtick. But things got good when Storm took the mic and talked about how the mystical they... No, I don't think it's a new they in TNA, but it was, you know, how they didn't know what to do with them, so they put them in a tag team, and they surpassed everyone's expectations, and this was a good promo from Storm, talking about, you know, Rude's kids and how much he's missed with them, and then moving on, you know, and that night getting that title shot and how important it is. And Storm said he was trying to make Rude cry, and Rude was like, you got close, you got close. So, and then he said, hey, Kurt Angle, sorry about your damn luck. And then some mystery entrance music started. I seriously, as I'm watching the show, I was like, what music is that? What's going on? And then they panned to the entryway, and it was Kurt Angle's. And I thought, Kurt Angle's been in TNA for 5 years now. And I still have no idea what his entrance music sounds like. Probably an issue. Probably shows that something's not getting over the way it should. But then again, if you change it, it might take me 5 years to figure it out. But Kurt Angle put over Rude winning the series, and he then turned to Fortune and said, hey guys, don't you want to be where he is? You got, and he broke it down one by one and talked about the opportunities they have and or have not had and said, you know, Bobby Rude has this opportunity. Don't you wish you were where he was? And then he said Fortune was going to get a chance to prove it, because in the weeks leading up to Bound for Glory, we are going to get Bobby Roode against every member of Fortune, all four of them. And he said that a Kazarian was going to be the first to go tonight. Then Kurt's music hit and he left the ring. So, I appreciated this segment as far as putting over Bobby Roode, but again, I think a video replay of that Bound for Glory series win really would have put it over the top. It's a little thing. It's a touch. You know, it's adding just a little video package. TNA does decent video packages, and this is where one was really needed. Same thing with talking about the whole Fortune thing. I don't know, just hearing it to me, the issues I have with it, first of all. And like I said, tonight I felt like it went more good than bad. But the issues that I have with it are how you really think you're going to get a babyface over by putting him in babyface versus babyface matches for 4 weeks leading into a pay-per-view. That's how you're going to get him over for his big match. It doesn't make sense. If you look back at history, in 1998, it was Steve Austin having to fight Triple H in China in D-Generation X before he got to Shawn Michaels. If you look at even 2003, it was Brock Lesnar having to fight Team Angle and Paul Heyman before he could get to Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 19. In history, you look back and it is the babyface having to go through the stable of heels to get to the lead heel. Now, Immortal's not set up to do that. I don't think they want to do that with Gunnar getting plowed through and Abyss. I mean, do you do Bobby Roode versus Abyss? That's not an attractive match. Immortal's too ragtag of a bunch of heels to really do that with. So I get having him do it with Fortune. But I don't think that's how you get him over. Fortune are some of the most over baby faces in TNA. And you choose them to put up against Bobby Roode. It's just silly. But silly logic and not my favorite booking aside, it turned out good tonight, so I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, and I'll talk more about what I liked about it when we get to the match a little bit later on. How's that for a teaser, right? If I cut to commercial right now, that would be classic. However, there are no commercials to cut to. Suppose I could pimp the .net member site some more, but hey guys, just go check it out. Drop the money for a month, you're going to keep coming back, and you're going to enjoy it. Guaranteed. Yeah, it's guaranteed. Let's just say guaranteed. Anyways, backstage, Bischoff was congratulating Kurt Angle on his decision to make Rude face Fortune. Again, Kurt Angle can make matches now? Crazy face. And then we got Velvet Sky against Angelina Love in what Karen Jarrett called a Queens qualifier match in 840. And Man, you remember when Sky and Love was supposed to be, like, the marquee match of the division? When it was the beautiful people are breaking up and it's a big deal, and when Winter first came around, and then suddenly this rivalry just got dropped? Well, it's back tonight. And they talked about their beautiful people history, and this is one, the puzzling thing for me. You have the other matches on the other nights that are pre-announced now. They're not really marquee matches. They're not things that I'm going to flip the channel to see. But I think Love versus Velvet Sky could have been that, especially if you put a video package behind it. If you actually talk about their beautiful people history and how they broke up and what's going on with them now. You know, even give them a little bit of promo time. TNA does things well in this department. A lot, but I feel like they dropped the ball on getting the most out of just this simple Impact match. And that's the thing. I'm not saying you devote half your show to it the way you did Sting and Flair on some weeks. But you devote 2 or 3 minutes to it the week before it's going to happen. And you tell people, this is a big deal. You need to watch this. And this is why. And the crazy thing is, people will think it's a big deal. And they'll watch it. Because you told them to. Because they felt like they needed to. So, anyways, decent match that Velvet Sky won, so she's moving on to that Queen's qualifier match, and I'm already going to say Bound for Glory is going to be Velvet's, oh my god, Velvet Sky has done it moment, and she still can't get it done in the ring well enough to actually justify being a champion. So, backstage, we got a very interesting segment now, with Jeff talking to AJ Styles, and, AJ Styles says he's been here for 9 years, and he told Jeff that in one night he almost killed the entire company. Styles said Jeff was selfish and mentioned that Jeff was doing drugs or drinking, and he said he yelled at Jeff that he wasn't dealing drugs or drinking, and Styles took a deep breath and said and told Jeff there wasn't going to be a time that he should be around him. Basically, Styles completely buried Jeff Hardy. For all the reasons that Jeff Hardy deserves to be buried. The weird thing is, Styles wasn't doing this in a media interview. Styles wasn't doing this in an out-of-character way. Styles was doing this as AJ Styles. To Jeff Hardy's face. And, hey, God, that's got to be tough for Jeff Hardy. I mean, you know, the guy dug his own grave and definitely has put himself even more in it by returning to TNA, but man, that's gotta suck to sit there and hear how terrible you are from someone face to face. That's a bummer, right? Second, man, it's a little bit harsh. I felt like it was a little bit harsh of a promo in general, but AJ Styles delivered it well, and this was the bad of the Hardy stuff. This is the exploitation. This is where it comes to, like, why are you doing this? This is dumb, TNA. Why are you telling people, yeah, you should boo Jeff Hardy because of this, this, and this? I mean, and especially the drug stuff. You're already a company with a joke of a drug testing policy. Your champion's getting DUIs and then lying about his blood alcohol percentage. You don't then have Jeff Hardy confronted for drug use on TV, on your TV show, on your most watched item. I mean, what's next? That Jeff Hardy was on drugs DVD? I mean, that could be what the new Jeff Hardy DVD is, but I hope Jeff has it together. I really do. But this was the bad of what I was talking about, and again, we'll get to the good later. Then backstage, Hogan was talking with Ric Flair. Hogan said they were in this together. Then back in the arena, the announcer spoke with Crimson via satellite, and Crimson wants a piece of Samoa Joe. He thought he had the Bound for Glory series wrapped up, and Crimson came off good here, but not great. It wasn't the quality of his verbal confrontation with Kurt Angle a few weeks ago, but Crimson did an okay job. The via satellite format is hard, and Mike Tenay's not exactly a guy that you want to act with. But it was good for what it was. And, I mean, they're trying to get Crimson over, and it's almost like they've put this storyline injury in there to just pause a little bit and have some time to think about what's next. I really feel like they needed Crimson out of the Bound for Glory championship picture. So this was them hitting the pause button with this injury and going, all right, what's next? And hopefully they come up with some good stuff for Crimson going down the road, because he can be something big. I don't think TNA's pushed him well with the undefeated streak. But Crimson can definitely be something big for them. And then, since Crimson was discussing Samoa Joe, we got Samoa Joe against Matt Morgan, and I guess this was a submission match. I want to say it was a submission match. But Samoa Joe defeated Morgan in 4 minutes and 19 seconds, and I liked this one. I liked it a lot. A, Samoa Joe got a clean win by submission. Always good when you can do that for a guy that I suppose is a heel now. Joe's a heel, right? B, Morgan it looked good but not great, and it just... I mean, Morgan kind of gave Joe the heat back that Joe lost at the pay-per-view, and I think for where TNA is going right now, especially if they want Joe to put over Crimson, they need all the heat on Joe that they can get. And the thing is, Joe's an easy guy to get heat on with that Orlando crowd, and the Philly crowd's going to love him at Bound for Glory. So give Joe the push right now. Give him the push going into his match with Crimson. You're not going to regret that. I mean... And that's the thing that TNA does, is these start and stop pushes, it makes pay-per-view matches inconsequential. But this was a good match, and, you know, Joe needed to look like a badass after his loss at the pay-per-view, and he does. And Joe looked like a badass in front of the more important audience, and that was the TV audience. So, cool. Then backstage, we had Kurt Angle talking to Kazarian, and asking Kazarian how many TNA title shots he had, and he told Kazarian to go out there and do some damage, and he may be next in line for a shot. So it was a way to kind of get Kazarian motivated and a way for Kurt Angle to get even more in Bobby Roode's head, I'm sure. Then D-Von was backstage talking to Jeff Hardy, and this was the good, and this good outweighed the bad for me, saying D-Von cutting one of the best promos I've ever heard D-Von cut, basically as a motivational speaker, saying the Jeff Hardy he knew when they had nothing, the Jeff Hardy he knew up and down the road in, you know, landmark matches 12 years ago, the Jeff Hardy that he knew was not the Jeff Hardy that showed up at Victory Road. And he needs that Jeff Hardy back. I mean, go and watch this promo. It is a great work, a great little piece of work from D-Von. And, I mean, it was enough to redeem that really awkward and bad AJ Styles segment because it was that good. So, kudos to D-Von. Kudos to Jeff Hardy. I mean, I'm guessing this will be his role on the show for a couple weeks. And if it is, I can see it working. I'm curious to see what they do with him, especially marching into Bound for Glory. But I can see this working as long as they go more in the D-Von direction than they do in the Jeff Hardy direction. As long as they try to make it motivational and someone who has their life together than talking a lot about his past and his drug use and everything else. One quick side note on the drug use stuff. TNA is going to be in a lot of trouble if Hardy screws up again. I mean, TNA is going to look terrible because they had his drug use discussed on screen, and TNA is just going to look ridiculous. I fear for that. That worries me. What TNA will look like if Jeff Hardy messes up again. That is, I mean, it might be entertaining to watch, but at the same time, it's going to be a disaster. It'll be a PR disaster for TNA, and I'm sure a personal disaster for Jeff, and I do not wish that on him at all. So, moving on now, we had Bobby Roode against Kazarian, and this match went 5 minutes and 58 seconds, and it was Bobby Roode defeating Kazarian with the crossface for a submission win. And I do believe the crossface is what he used to defeat Gunner at the No Surrender pay-per-view as well. So Bobby Roode is switching from that Fujiwa armbar to the crossface, probably because crossface is easier to say. But this match, it escalated from like friendly battle to a lot of intensity in there. The guys told a tight story. The guys really worked well together. I mean, they've wrestled a bunch of times. They worked well together. It was a really entertaining match. Definitely match of the night. And, you know, one of those matches that I think would have even been even better if they would have held it on the road instead of in front of that terrible Impact Zone crowd. And, man, TNA needs a better product simply because they need to be able to draw at TV tapings and they need to get out of the Impact Zone. I can't emphasize enough how much the Impact Zone bores the hell out of me. And it doesn't have to, but it does. And the thing about this match that actually made it really great to me was that after the match, they had, you know, that roaming camera in the back, and it caught Kazarian and Rude talking, and, you know, Rude, I think, was feeling a little bit bad that it got a little intense, and Kazarian was like, no, it needed to get intense. That needed to happen, and you know what? When it got intense in there, I knew at that moment, I knew when you beat me, that I was just in the ring with the future world champion, and he shook his hand, and oh, it was a hell of a moment. I mean, that right there is how you make a star. And if you keep doing things like that, and you don't have to use that moment exactly, or that formula, but if you keep having it be Bobby Roode beats people, and they say, you're the guy, I knew it, I knew standing in the ring with you that you were the guy, oh, that's good. That's really good. And that, to me, makes the babyface versus babyface stuff worth it. And because you get that in the end, and you get all of these babyfaces, your most over babyfaces, AJ Styles, the guy in your company, James Storm, arguably the best promo in the company, going, you're the guy. You are the guy, Bobby Roode. You're the guy that we believe in. And I just hope that TNA goes all the way with it. Side note, Vince Russo, I want to talk to you right now, Vinny Roo. I promised you last week on this members exclusive audio a puppy for doing the Bound for Glory series right now. You didn't quite earn that puppy last week, but I've got to say, Vince, I'm proud of you for what you did tonight. And if you keep this going well, if you keep this pretty decent, we may be able to talk about that puppy, Vince Russo. Now, it won't come with all the fix-ins and me taking care of it and everything else, but just the base model, the puppy. It could happen. So, let's keep our eye on the prize now, Russo. This is your last shot at a puppy, man. And I know you want that puppy. All right, moving on. I'm sure you're all wishing I would move on because you don't want to hear about Vince Russo and me getting him a puppy. Earlier today, we had a Austin Aries promo basically saying next week he's going to make his first ever X Division title defense and announcing it. And quick little way to get the X Division champ on the show, but a little bit sad that the X Division's only representation on the show was like a 1 minute Austin Aries promo. Probably should have done more than that, TNA. I mean, if you want the X Division to matter, you need to let it matter and give it some moments. Then we had a backstage promo with Jerry Lynn and Bully Ray, and Jerry Lynn talked about how he had been getting Rob Van Dam intentionally disqualified and how he meant to do it and how much fun it was. And then Bully Ray said, Ken Anderson, you don't stick your nose in my business. And next week, it's Rob Van Dam and Ken Anderson against Jerry Lynn and Bully Ray. And again, Rob Van Dam and Ken Anderson were feuding earlier in the year, and now they're best frenzies, and it's kind of weird. Okay. But I will say this. I would rather see Rob Van Dam as the heel in a rivalry against Jerry Lynn. I think Rob Van Dam comes off as a naturally cocky jerk. Even when you hear mainstream interviews with him, he comes off like a jerk. I'm not saying he is one. He's probably a really cool guy to, you know, sit down and chill with. But the way he comes off in interviews, and really the original Rob Van Dam character was a cocky heel. He became not that because WWE made him a babyface and said, you do flashy offense, so you're a babyface. I think TNA would have been wise to reverse the roles here. But and then we came around to Sting and Ric Flair, which we have already talked about. Looking into the future for this show, I mean, we're going down the road to Bound for Glory now, and I think this show had a lot more good than it did bad. I think when you have Joe and Matt Morgan, when you have Kazarian and Bobby Roode, and when you're talking about Bobby Roode's road to Bound for Glory, you've got a lot of positive there. And I really think that TNA accentuated the positive this week. I'm not going to say they did things perfectly because, again, that last match just leaves such a bad taste in your mouth. And when you look at the Bobby Roode and Kazarian match and the Joe and Matt Morgan match, the total time of those matches did not equal the total time of Sting versus Ric Flair. I mean, TNA's priority, they're, you know, beginning and middle of their beginning and end of the show was Sting and Ric Flair. Their priority right now is Sting and Hulk Hogan. It's this story that they've been marching towards for a while. And my worry is that Bobby Roode takes the backseat. That Bobby Roode's the guy that gets the, oh, well, yeah, you're getting your shot at the world title, but you're going to get it in the second to last match because Sting versus Hogan's that important. No, it isn't. You need to give Bobby Roode the best spot you can on this card. You need to give him every tool at his disposal. Because TNA's future isn't in Hulk Hogan, who's probably leaving in a couple months. It isn't in Sting, who can't carry his end of the match, who can't remember a simple spot in the ring. Their future is not in Ric Flair, who's 62 years old and I pray is done wrestling. Their future's in young guys. Their future's not even in Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's done everything he could for this company, and it was not much. Their future is in a guy like Bobby Roode. Their future is in guys like James Storm. Their future needs to become their now. They can't sit there and talk, you know, and even if you want to focus on the younger veterans, the younger former WWE guys, your Jeff Hardy, your Rob Van Dam, your Mr. Andersons, hell, even your Bully Ray, I'll group him in here too, as much as I love the work that he's done. Those guys are not your future. Those guys, they're done. You've gotten everything you can out of them. TNA has shown that they can't get out of these guys that they're picking up from WWE, out of these guys, they're not getting anything. So why not take a shot? Why not take a shot, especially when you have a talent like Bobby Roode there? Especially when you have a talent like James Storm. I mean, and I just picked those two guys out because I really feel like they're at the top of their game right now. Storm, to me, probably the best promo in the business at the moment at Cutting Old School. Awesome. Just, I want to see someone get their ass kicked because of this pro wrestling promos. And you can say, you know, well, Punk and Triple H are doing great work on Raw. Yeah, they're doing good promo work, but what the hell are those promos even about? James Storm, you know someone's about to get their ass kicked, and it's awesome. And you are sorry about their damn luck. I mean, just great stuff. Same thing with Bobby Roode. Good promos. I need to see him come out of that I'm a former rich guy character, because that character is a death knell to this angle. But I'm happy to see TNA going in that direction, and I hope that at and before Bound for Glory, they decide to make him the main focus of their show, because he is the most important thing in that company right now, and they need to have everything that they have invested in protecting him and making sure that the road to Bound for Glory is successful for him. And by the way, TNA, screwing it up also counts as going, well, we're going to put Angle over in this match, and then Rue's going to have to earn another shot. I'm not saying it can't work, and I'll praise you if it does work, but that's like going into WrestleMania 14 and not putting Steve Austin over. You don't do it. It's not the time to hold back. It's the time to go all out and to put all of your eggs in one basket, and that basket's Bobby Roode right now. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to me today. Again, if you want to check out the .NET membership option where you get a whole lot more audio that's probably a whole lot more entertaining than me, and you know, more of me, and I'm awesome. Okay, maybe not awesome, but I'm good, you know? But where you get a whole lot more audio and a lot of first-run news again, and the .NET members forum, which is always fun interaction with some cool guys in there and gals, head on over to ProWrestling.net. Check out the membership option. It's on the right side of the page. You can't miss it, and we're pretty sure you're going to enjoy it. So thank you for listening today, and have a good one.